And as you give this morning, let me kind of get launched into the message, and let me title it this morning, Lord of the Sabbath. Lord of the Sabbath. In fact, we're going to read a couple of stories this morning from Luke chapter 6. You can take your Bibles, you can turn there. And we see a couple of events that happened on a Sabbath. And we're going to learn what Jesus really intended, what God intended when he set apart a holy day called a Sabbath unto the Lord. But it's really understanding who is Lord of that day. In Luke chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 11 today all together, but let me just start with verses 1 and 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick up some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and they eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Heavenly Father, again, I pray over your word that it would enlighten our hearts to truth and to action. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I go too far into chapter 6 of Luke, I want to back up and go to Exodus 20, and I want to read the fourth commandment to you from God's perspective, okay? So you understand what God said. In Exodus 20, 8 to 11, this is part of the Ten Commandments. This is the fourth of the Ten Commandments that we have. And here's what God says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now understand, the breaking of the Sabbath was a serious offense in Israel during the days of Jesus. By the way, how many of you think you've ever broken the Sabbath? You're all sinners. Yeah, probably every one of us have broken the Sabbath in our walk with the Lord. That's why the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But in Jesus' day, it had consequences, even death at certain places. The reason being is that if you disregarded the Sabbath, in their minds, you were disregarding God himself. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were determined they were going to keep the Sabbath. And they also were going to help other people keep the Sabbath. And this is how they did it. They made up a long list of things you could not do, or that if you did them, you were breaking the Sabbath. In fact, there were 39 principles of things you could not do on the Sabbath. And those 39 could be divided into four categories. And here's what those categories were. The order of bread, that had to do with food and cooking and stuff like that. The order of garments, about sewing, making clothes. You couldn't do anything to do with thread. The order of hides, this had to do with hunting and animal skins. You couldn't hunt. The order of construction, this had to do with everything from writing. You couldn't write. It had to do with you couldn't build anything. You couldn't even fasten anything together. You couldn't even make a fire on the Sabbath. Ain't that great? How many like me to reinstitute those 39? Principles. In fact, let me give you what was under the order of bread, just so you can kind of see what they were. These are the things you couldn't do. Planting, plowing, reaping, gathering, threshing, winnowing, sorting, grinding, sifting, kneading, cooking. So nobody eats today. Legalism said you cannot do any of these things on the Sabbath. So Jesus has to come back and he's going to clarify what the Sabbath is really supposed to be. So let me start with this statement. The Sabbath was a gift, not a burden. Everybody say that. The Sabbath was a gift, not a burden. Let's go back to our story in verse 1 and 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now, what the disciples were doing was not the problem. It was when they were doing it. It was on what they considered a Sabbath. In the mind of the Pharisees, taking the kernels of wheat to take them was reaping. That's what you're doing. You're harvesting. You can't do that. And then when they began to rub the grains between their hands, they considered that to be threshing. That you're threshing out the wheat, and you can't do that. Therefore, in the minds of the Pharisees, the disciples were working on the Sabbath. And therefore, they were violating the restrictions that they had imposed upon the people. But Jesus responds, and I find this interesting, by mentioning a Jewish precedent from the Old Testament. You got to understand, Jesus knew the Word of God. He knew the stories. And this was important because what they were considering to be wrong, he says, "Let me take you back to a man you know as King David." And in verse 3 and 4, this is what he tells them. Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Basically, he's telling them of a time when David is running from Saul and he and his men were hungry. And so David goes to the priest at Nob and asks for some bread. But the bread that was available, the only bread that was available, was the consecrated bread that was from the tabernacle. And that bread was supposed to only go to the priest after it had been replaced. But the priest gave it to David and his men, even though he wasn't a priest, and they ate it. And Jesus cites this biblical precedent to show, listen to this, that the law at times gives way to necessity. If David could disregard the law of God because they were hungry, these disciples should be able to disregard man-made regulations. This is because Jesus knows that the Sabbath was never going to be or should be about regulations. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the teachers of the law, they've made up all these restrictions. But none of those restrictions came from God. In fact, we read what God said. God said to keep it holy. God said it's a Sabbath. In fact, in Mark chapter 2, we have the same story reiterated from Mark's perception. And as we read that, we find these words in Mark 2, 27. "Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Basically, Jesus is saying, "I am the master of the day of rest." In fact, verse 27 again, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Now listen carefully. Church, the Sabbath was not given to us for us to worship a Sabbath day. The Sabbath was given to us as a gift for man, not a burden to man. It was given to help us understand our need for rest. But the Pharisees had turned it into something that you worship, a day that you worship, versus it was a day for man. Church, this is an important clarification because you understand God didn't need 6 days to make the world. He could have made everything with one word. And did you also know God doesn't get tired? You think he rested on the seventh day because he was tired? Listen to Isaiah 40, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. So in the creation of the world, God was trying to teach something, because it's God in Exodus who takes it back to creation of why there is a Sabbath, why there needs to be a Sabbath. God was trying to teach us something about the rhythm of life. As he created everything, he took 6 days. He set it up all in 6 days, and then he had a day of rest. He did the same for the land, actually, in Leviticus. Here's what God says: for 6 years, sow your fields. And for 6 years, prune your vineyards, gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Church, God gave us the Sabbath to help benefit us. Do you understand? If God would have set the Sabbath aside, how could the land worship him? The Sabbath was for the land, just like the Sabbath is for the man. It's for our mankind. It's for us. In fact, the Sabbath is to help us from getting off course in our life. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Here again, Luke 6:5. Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus is master of the day of rest. Church, that's why we recognize Jesus on this day. This is the Lord's Day. And first of all, on the Lord's Day, I think the most important thing to do is to reconnect with God. That's why we need a Sabbath. We're to keep a day holy, which means our focus should be on the Lord of the Sabbath. His holiness, not the holiness of a day. Do you understand the difference? On the very first day of the week, we have chosen to celebrate this as our Sabbath, because today we focus on what Jesus did when he rose from the dead. In fact, next week we're going to celebrate that again, his rising from the dead, and he did so on the first day of the week. And then he met with his disciples later on the first day of the week. The day of Pentecost was on the first day of the week, on Sunday. In the New Testament, we're told the early church, when did they meet? They met on the first day of the week, on a Sunday. They made it their Sabbath because they began to focus on what Jesus had done and accomplished for them. That's why we hold to Sunday today as our day of worship before the Lord. It's to honor him and his work on our behalf. It's to focus on him. And we need to reconnect with the Lord week after week, and also to enjoy the fellowship of the believers. But secondly, I also believe the Sabbath is a day to restore our body. Church, this should also be a day of rest. If you keep running without a break, especially a holy break, think about it, you will eventually suffer physically and suffer spiritually. You need a holy day. People who never take a break tend to stress themselves out in life. And that was never God's intent for your life. In fact, his intent was work, but rest. Every Sabbath, you need to rest. You need to refresh yourself. And God gives us that Sabbath so we could do so. Another thing we can learn this morning is this: the Sabbath is for doing good. Everybody say that. The Sabbath is for doing good. Let me go on in our passage this morning, verse 6 to 11 from Luke 6. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. A man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up, stood there, and Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at all of them and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious, and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Once again, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, they're watching Jesus. They're looking for a reason to bring some accusation against him. And in the opinion of the religious leaders, think about it, they did not believe people ought to be healed on the Sabbath. Can you imagine that? It's just kind of like, this is the Lord's day, it's a holy day, but we don't have holy things happening. Listen to verse 7 again. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But of course, Jesus in his heart and discernment knew what they were thinking. And he asked the man with the withered hand that was there to stand up. Now, this man showed up that day with no intention that he would ever be healed. Not that day. Because you don't heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus asked the question in verse 9. I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And the crowd, there's no response that comes from them. But I believe everybody in that room, just like in this room, you know it's better to do good rather than evil on the Sabbath. I mean, know that. But Jesus, being God, understood God's heart and what should happen on the Sabbath. So he told the man to stretch out his hand, and the Bible tells us immediately his hand was restored. A good thing happened. However, I find it interesting that the Pharisees, scribes, got offended by it. And because of the regulations that they had set up, they missed a good thing that day. Go listen to it again in verse 11. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Church, the principle, I believe, of the Sabbath is pretty simple. The Sabbath was meant to be a time of rest and renewal and for doing what is good and pleasing to the Lord. That's really what the Sabbath is about. Let me try to make some life applications for us this morning, because what do we do with this type of information and story? Well, first of all, let me ask you to be careful that we don't do the opposite of what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law did. And what I mean by that is this. May we not get too relaxed in what the Sabbath is all about, that we don't respond the right way to the Sabbath. Not being too religious, not being too relaxed. It's understanding what the day is about. Because many times we can view the Lord's Day as simply it's a day off for us, and we can tend to do all the stuff that we didn't get done during the week. And by the way, I still appreciate businesses, especially like Chick-fil-A, who are walking by God's principles and working 6 days and then on the seventh day. Now, I hate it when I'm traveling. It wasn't too long ago we were traveling, and it was on a Sunday, and we left after church. It's like, oh man, there's a Chick-fil-A. And we actually drove all the way up to it. And when we drove up, it's like, it's usually packed. And remember, they close on Sunday. I think it honors the Lord. And if you watch from their history to them even coming down into Michigan, God is still honoring that principle for that business. And I appreciate that. Church, this is the Lord's day. Let me ask you to take a moment and think about this question. Why have you come to worship today? Are you here because it's religious habit? Are you here because you had nothing more important than to do, than get out of bed and put on clothes and go to church? Or did you come to recognize a holy God and recognize everything he's done in your life? I don't know your reasoning. But the Lord really wants us to look forward to Sunday or our Sabbath as an anchor for our lives. It has to be something that's set apart every week to say, this day is for the Lord, and the Lord gave it to me, He told me what to do. I'll work, but I need to rest. Church, we should come here hungry for a fresh word from the Lord and excited and enthusiastic about seeing other believers and then being eager to invest our lives in ministry to one another because it's a day to do good. What about newcomers? This is especially good for newcomers who are here to maybe meet God or find a family of believers who are seeking God with their whole heart. If we all came to church with that kind of mindset, I think we could be recharged and refreshed every week as we worship together. Let me ask a couple of questions about your schedule today. Is your day filled with things that draw your attention to the Lord or from the Lord? What's your intents when you leave here today? Have you got other things on your mind, or are there things that the Lord wants in your life? Are you resting from your labor? I know there's a lot of people that would just say, Pastor, can you just give us a list of what we should do and what we shouldn't do on Sabbath? And some of you probably have questions about, is it okay to watch sports on Sunday? Is it okay if I go shopping? Can I mow the lawn? Can I cook something for my big family? This morning, you have to understand, I'm not here to answer those kinds of questions. Because if I did, it would seem like I'm attempting to make the Lord's day about rules. And that's not what it's about. I think Jesus wants us to know this. The Sabbath day is about relationship. It's about honoring God in our lives, putting Him first in every decision of the day. It's about finding refreshment for your spirit, rest for your body. It's also about serving others when a need presents itself. God gave us the Sabbath so we could restore ourselves in body and in spirit. He gave us the Sabbath so we could do good and not evil. He gave us the Sabbath so we could get closer to Him. Think about that. Jesus didn't show up to eliminate or to disregard the Sabbath, but He wanted to dig it out from the mountain of legalism that it was under. Once again, He desires for the Sabbath to be a blessing to your life, not a burden. And it should never be governed by narrow thinking or narrow definitions of what work is and what work isn't. This is a day to focus on the Lord because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. It's a day to focus on who He is and what He's done. Church, we are to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy.